Brother Branham's message, I keep finding quote after quote after quote after quote on that. And, you know, I think, we may have to come back and just do a whole thing on inner man, just continue to talk about that. But we'll see how the Lord will lead. But tonight we have something else that we want to try to hit here if we can. And we'll just see where the Lord takes it. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So again, verse 5 says, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And to me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And we'll kind of get into a little bit more of that. I know we hit that before, but we'll hit a little bit more tonight. The unsearchable riches of Christ. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. So I want to just kind of pick up a couple quotes here that's going to come out of the Church Age book, and probably get a few more scriptures. This first quote that I'll bring up is out of Thyatiran Church Age. And while we're pulling that up, I want to just invite your attention to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to be kind of working with this. I'm actually working with verse 24 here in this first quote, but let's just read this whole section to the Thyatiran Church Age, starting at verse 18. It says, "Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And again, we want to just kind of focus on that part where it talks about the depths of Satan there in verse 24. This first quote here out of the Thyatiran church age, Brother Branham makes this comment, says, they have not known the depths of Satan. And he's referring to verse 24 there. It says, it seems that this verse has been left out by the commentators, but they were not able to figure out what doctrine or what experiences are meant by this phrase. And he's talking about the phrase, they have not known the depths of Satan. The paragraph number is 239-3. Actually, it is figure out what doctrine or what experiences are meant by this phrase. Actually, it is simple to know what is meant. Let us first know what the depth of God is, and the opposite will be true for the depth of Satan. All right, and he refers back to Ephesians 3:16 when he's given this particular quote. He says in Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So he's referring back to that that same scripture there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, Brother Branham says this. Now, according to these verses, when a man experiences the depth of God in his life, it is an actual personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling him, and his mind is illuminated by the wisdom and knowledge of God through the Word. And I like that. It says, according to these verses, when a man experiences the depth of God in his life, it is an actual personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling him, and his mind is illuminated by the wisdom and knowledge of God through the Word. It's illuminated his mind, and I didn't put the chart up, but you all kind of know the body, spirit, soul. The spirit part is where the mind is. And here, Brother Branham's saying, when you're experiencing the depth of God in your life, when you're experiencing the depth of God, and I think that's where some of us are lacking. We are satisfied with just kind of having the surface, but we want to go into the depth of God. Yeah, I mean, and that to me is just drown if you can in Jesus. Just drown, you know. I mean, don't stay in shallow waters when it comes to the Lord. You know, I mean, go as deep as you can. Now, I'm not talking about where you done, you know, went overboard. All right, you know, because, you know, I mean, sometimes people try to talk too deep, preach too deep, you know, any of that. But we're not talking about that. We talk about falling in love with Jesus. I mean, don't have a shallow relationship. Just fall so in love with him that nothing else means nothing. It's just only Jesus. See, he says it's an actual personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling in him, and his mind is illuminated by the wisdom and knowledge of God through the Word. See, But the depth of Satan will be in that he will attempt to destroy this. He will, as always, attempt to make a substitute for this reality of God. How will he do it? He will take away the knowledge of the truth of God, destroy the word by putting forth his own, yea, hath God said. And that's what he did with Eve when Eve added to the word that it began to affect the experience that they were having with the Lord. Amen. Anytime Satan gets and begins to add to, you know, I mean, where you know, you come to a certain spot in God and then Satan begin to attack you a little bit. And when he add a little bit, just a little compromise in certain areas, that begins to affect your experience with the Lord. Yeah. See, amen. And if you don't stop him, like I remember Brother Wesley used to say, if you give the devil an inch, he gonna take a foot. It ain't no such thing as just giving the devil a little inch. Oh, this is all right. As soon as you just start with that, this is all right, that's that reasoning, right? When you get into reasoning and you start shutting things up, you start reasoning with the enemy in certain areas in your life, before you know it, that devil will come and just take complete control, and you'll be wondering how in the world you got there. See, that's why you can't even give the devil an inch. You can't play pity-pat with the devil. You can't play tug-of-war with the devil. You can't play with the devil.
Amen.
See, just bottom line. And before you know it, you'll go from the depths of God to the depths of Satan. I was thinking about this this morning or the other morning. But you all know the picture, and I can't think of the artist right now, but he drew the Last Supper. And when he drew the Last Supper, Brother Branham gave the quote where, you know, is it Leonardo da Vinci? Okay. He drew the Last Supper, and when he got everybody in the picture, he said, man, I got Jesus, I got everybody, I'm missing one character here, Judas. See, I need a really, really rough person to play Judas. You know, I need something. Somebody messed up got to be Judas. So it took 10 years for him to find somebody that captured his thoughts of what Judas would look like. And when he saw the man, he said, hey, would you be Judas for me in my picture? You're the last missing piece. And, you know, I'm trying to get into this picture. So the man sat there and let him draw him, and he was Judas, you know, in the picture. And after he finished drawing, he found out that the same man that was Jesus in the picture, 10 years later, was also Judas in the picture. He drew a picture of the same man, just what sin did to that man's life in a 10-year period. Here he was just graceful, old, beautiful person, you know, that could play, that could imitate Jesus. But 10 years later, because the man backslid and what sin did to his life, He was Judas. See, don't give the devil an inch.
Amen.
They always say this, sin takes you further than you ever want to go. It always takes you further than you want to go. It's never, devil don't have what we call stopping sense. The devil don't know how to stop. He just don't know how to do it. I mean, he's going to keep pushing you, keep pushing you, keep pushing. You got to understand that his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. So you cannot play games with the devil. He don't like you. And the quicker you start disliking him, then you'll stay away from him. You won't let him talk to you. Amen. You won't even say hi to him because you dislike him just that much. You got to have that kind of feeling when it comes to the devil. Amen. All right. So we're talking about moving from what the depths of Satan is when we move away from the depths of God. Depths of God is a personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling us. Our mind is illuminated by the wisdom and knowledge of God through the Word. But the depth of Satan will be in that he will attempt to destroy this. He will, as always, attempt to make a substitute for this reality of God. How will he do it? He will take away the knowledge of the truth of God. Destroy the word by putting forth his own, yea, hath God said. He will then substitute the personal Christ in our spirits. He will do it as he caused Israel to do the same by a human being reigning as king instead of God. The born again experience will be rejected in favor of church joining. Nah, ain't nothing but the truth. Now, we done seen that too much in church nowadays. If you just walk up and shake the preacher's hand, you know, not only are you a member of the church, but you can go to heaven. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. The preachers of his God see his righteousness as filthy rags, just like he see everybody else out there. You know, I mean, don't. And even if he do put on a robe and a collar, he's still a filthy sinner, just like everybody else is. I mean, that's just for show. You know, put on that. There was a time, you know, back in the day, the only people wore them collars was Catholics. That was the only ones wore them collars. Catholic. That's how you knew who was Catholic. Then the Presbyterians start bringing it in. The Lutherans start doing it. Before you know it, the Pentecostals was doing it. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth. I mean, you would never see a Pentecostal with them collars on like that. No, 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 no. That was Catholic. But it shows you that the church as a whole has begun to move away from the depths of God. The reason what made Pentecost so powerful is because of the way the Holy Spirit was moving amongst those people. Yeah. I mean, they had the true depths of God, but as they start desiring to be like the other denominations, God left Pentecost. Mm-hmm. See, Pentecost started in 1906, and I mean, a powerful move of the Spirit, Azusa Street Revival, that was powerful. That's what started the whole Pentecostal group. That they didn't exist before then. But in 1906, when that great move of the Spirit, here they come out. But what happens is that Pentecost, even after about 3 years after Azusa Street, they had a big split in the church where the whites went one direction and the blacks went another direction. You had the Church of God in Christ, which was the blacks, going one way. Then you had the Assemblies of God, which was the whites, going another way. Now, that tells you right there, when people split over racial barriers, there's a problem with what's going on, because the Holy Ghost would make you not see race. The Holy Ghost would not let you see it. It won't let you see it. We all come from the same Adam, which came from one God. See, the only reason that the color of our skin is the way it is because when Noah's sons went to different parts of the earth, and by them going to the different parts of the earth, by staying in some of those climates for so long, it affected the pigmentation of the skin. That's what did that. But we was all, we all. That's why we can give each other blood transfusions. Don't matter about the color of our skin. We can give each other blood transfusions. So, you know, all of that other stuff is nonsense. And what we should see with this, with a true move of the Spirit, you won't see color. It won't happen. Amen. Amen. That's just bottom line. And if you do see it, somebody better hit the altar real fast. Because that is not of God. It's not. Amen. Praise God. I mean, that's why you got some of these people, you know, they want to argue whether Jesus is black. Come on. And they got the scripture they're looking at in Revelation, they're looking at the wrong way. You know, hair like wool. That is the wrong revelation with that. You know, that is the wrong revelation. That means he was supreme judge. That's what that hair like wool means. Well, no, 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 no. Jesus got hair like wool. That is totally incorrect. And why does it matter? All I want to know is that he died and he rose again. And any man that would do that for me, I want him in my life. Amen. But, I mean, we've allowed this to be, to take the precedence in church. And it shouldn't even be there. Amen. All right, let me get back on to the subject here tonight. He will then substitute the personal Christ in our spirits. He will do it as he calls Israel to do the same by a human being reigning as king instead of God. The born-again experience will be rejected in favor of church joining. The depths of Satan have been entered into in that age, and the fruit of the depth of Satan, which are lies, murders, and horrible crimes, came forth from it. All right, so let's go on to another little part here. I was just kind of bringing in how Brother Branham tied strengthening the inner man back into the Thyatiran church age, the depths of Satan. Here, let's go on to another quote out of the church age book. This is going to be in Pergamene church age. The paragraph number is 210-2. And I'd like for you to also turn to another scripture with me in Revelation 2. Mm. let's just start here at verse 12, and verse 17 is really what I'll be kind of focusing on, but let's just read it from verse 12. To the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Balaam taught Balak what to do. Balaam, you know, you all know the story where he went down there to curse the people. Balak had offered him position, offered him money, prestige, but when he got down there, he could not curse God's people. And this was even after the donkey talked to him and everything. He didn't take that sign. But the way that he got God to come against Israel is he invited, he told Balak, when you all do your feast of Baal Peor, invite the children of Israel to come into your feast. Now, when they invited the children of Israel to come to their feast, you got to understand that during that feast, Balak knew that the women would not be dressed appropriately. So when the children of Israel, the men, saw these women, they just lost control of themselves and went running after these women. And as the children of Israel, they were supposed to stay separated from that. They were not supposed to get involved with people outside of the nation of Israel. Oh, my. See, it's the same thing with us. Believers don't get involved with unbelievers. You don't do that. See, because what happens is that somebody's heart is going to be turned. Trying to appease or please or, you know, satisfy somebody, somebody's going to have to sacrifice something. Either that unbeliever going to become a believer or the believer going to become an unbeliever. That's the only way, that's the way this usually works out. I've really never seen it work any better than that. Somebody always ends up losing. And it's always good if the unbeliever becomes a believer, but it's terrible when the believer becomes an unbeliever. That's a really, really bad thing, and it happens often. I'd probably say 90% of the time that's the way it usually goes. All right. But when they got invited, the children of Israel went to the feast of Baal Peor, they got so wrapped up. They got so wrapped up with what was going on there. And it got so bad till what they did is they took those women and they come running in through the camp with their sin. They went out there, then brought that into the camp of Israel. And here, you know, the camp of Israel, they're kind of mourning because of different things happening. And this man come running in with all of his sin. And he wasn't just anybody. He was one of the leader's children running in with this woman. And she was one of the leader's daughter of this other nation. And here they just come running in with their sin, just whatever. And see, God don't like that. See, I mean, you respect God. You just don't bring anything into the house of the Lord. Amen. Don't bring anything. You know, people think they can get away with just anything they want. No, you can't. No, you know, Lord, help us, God. You can't do it. You can't do it. See, don't let the devil water you down and water your experience down where you end up going, again, like I said, you move from the depths of God to the depths of Satan so fast. It happens faster than you ever imagine. See, but here, next thing you know, you just bring anything into the house of God. And thank God don't see that. Maybe in the people of the church might not say anything, but God sees that. And God will judge that. God will judge it himself. See, so, you know, you just don't, you be careful as to what you bring. And that man brought that woman into the presence of the saints. And, you know, had they not done anything about that, then others would have felt it was okay to do the same thing. See? So what happened is that you go back, it's right there, like I think Numbers 24, somewhere in that area, you find the whole story there. But what happens is that one of the priests, I believe, took a javelin while they was in their tent doing what they doing, took a javelin, went right through them, killed them both right down the spot. And you know what? But them dying like that pleased God. It pleased God. No grace was offered to them at all. See? So, I mean, this is a, you know, it's a really, really, you know, it's a very important, you know, that we honor the word of God, you know, honor the ways of God. If you don't honor anything else, just honor that, you know. Amen. Especially when we know better. Amen. All right. Let's, you know, so here I'm back at this scripture here. Verse 14 in Revelation 2 says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel." See, that was a stumbling block to those men to see something like that. You have to praise the Lord. And Balaam taught them to do this. Balaam told, just invite them. If you ever want them to get in trouble with God, because I can't curse them, but you let them sin against God's word. If they sin against God's word, God will get them himself. Balaam taught them. These people didn't have that idea. Balaam gave them that idea. See? So, cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things, sacrifice unto idols, and to commit fornication. What that fornication is we can look at it from two different angles. One is, you know, physical fornication, but the other is spiritual, which is idol worship. When God told them, "I have no other gods before me," but they went into idol worship. All right. "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." And what the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is this is when man is trying to conquer other men. See, when you look at the way that the church is set up nowadays, Catholic Church started this out with the Pope, but the Pope has dominion over everybody else. And that whatever he say, go. That's the way it works with the Catholic Church. Well, now we don't have a Pope in most of the denomination churches. You know, Catholic Church is the mother of harlots. I mean, she got children. See, the scripture calls her the great whore, but she has children. She's the mother of harlots. And, I mean, who are her children? See, every other denomination that come from underneath her, those are her children. Now, they might worship a little different. They may act a little different, but they still tie it right back to mama. Oh, my. And what happens is that eventually, and that's why they start taking on some of the same attributes that mama got, right? They start taking on the same attributes. Oh, Lord, I got out here, and now I'm trying to get myself back. but what happens is that, you know, eventually as these churches, they kind of get started on their own, they end up acting just like, that's like I told you, that collar thing that only the Catholics used to wear that. Now the Pentecostals and everybody else wearing it. They get the acting and doing the same thing. So, you know, here the Catholic Church got a head man, which is their Pope. We get a bishop. We get a bishop in the other churches. Bishop or superintendent. Now you show me the word superintendent in the Bible. Show it to me. So where he get that title from? That's a man-made title. See, and it's all, and I done seen it. You get it, you know, you get the bishop here, you know, if I was in a denomination, start Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Oh, man, this church is thriving. Man, but you know, we got something else that we want, another work that we want you to do. We're going to bring in this other person into this church, and then we're going to send you somewhere else. And you make the bishop too upset, you might end up, you don't know where you end up. You know, you end up starting all over again. See, you make, and people are so wrapped up in this that if the bishop say it, they feel like God said it. I'm serious. Oh, the bishop want me to go to another place. He want that because he know how much money he can get from certain places, and he can use you to get the money. It ain't none but the truth. This is the way this thing works. Men controlling men. They're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're being led by a man. And people feel like with that man said, then this is of God. Yeah. It is not of God. It is of man. They have kicked the spirit out. Mm-hmm. See that quote that I just read where Brother Branham typed it, he says, you know, just like the children of Israel, when they said, Samuel, your sons ain't like you. We don't want them. We're not going to follow them. We want a king like everybody else got a king. See, this is what we want. Well, that's the same way the church is done today. We want a bishop like everybody else got bishops. We want to be able to walk around and my bishop said this. We want to be able to say that my bishop said, you know, because that means we got the ultimate authority speaking. What about what my God say? My Bible say, not my bishop. And you hear more my bishop than you hear my Bible. See, we have man controlling men, following the same pattern. That's what we call, according to the book of Revelation, an image unto the beast. If you got an image unto the beast, that means it looks just like it. If I got a copy of something, it's going to look just like the original. That's why the Bible says it's an image unto the beast. It's not the beast, but it's an image unto. The beast is the Catholic Church. The image unto the beast is anything set up just like the Catholic Church. We don't have no bishop. We don't have no overseer. We don't have any of that. We got the Holy Ghost leading us week by week. Nobody give us no call and say, okay, preach this on Sunday and do this. We ain't got to send money to nobody. It's on our own free will if we give money to anybody. It's the Holy Ghost leading the church. That's where God always wanted it. It was the Holy Ghost and the prophets leading the children of Israel in the Old Testament until they rejected God and wanted a king. And when Samuel said, please don't do this, he was upset, couldn't sleep at night. God told Samuel, say, they didn't reject you, Samuel. They rejected me. Now you go ahead and give them the king that they want. Go ahead and give it to them. And forewarn them of all the things that's getting ready to happen. But you go ahead, oh, okay, we'll take the king anyway. Well, the king began to take their sons and do all kind of things that they didn't think the king would do. But it happened. See? So you be careful. I mean, with people moving again from the depths of God into the depths of Satan, not even realizing what they're doing. Now, can I come back? All right. What verse am I on? Verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Remember, when man is trying to conquer man, God says he hates that. Nicolaitans, Nico is conquer. Laitans is laity. See, conquer the laity. All right. Verse 16, that's the thing that God hates. Praise God. Repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now, you know, I know other churches where the pastor got to be in everybody's business. I mean, you can't leave town unless you call the pastor. You can't go to the bathroom unless you call the pastor. I mean, it's really bad. The pastor just got control over people's lives. We don't want that here. The Holy Ghost got to control your life. And if the Holy Ghost can't control it, then it just can't be controlled. See? I mean, the pastor's job, just preach the word. And everybody else, you just fall in line with that word. You see? But I mean, you've seen that where, I mean, some church, you know, wait a minute, that's a little bit too much control there, my friend. Wait a minute. Conquer the laity. This is what it's a thing where they conquer the laity. You don't want that. Amen. Verse 17 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That's the part that I was trying to get to right there. Will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Lord, help me. Let's go here to this quote out of Pergamene Church Age, 210-2, and says this. Now, with this thought in mind, look at that verse again. I would give him the hidden manna. We all know that the manna was angel food. It was what God sent down upon the grass for Israel at the time of their wanderings. It was perfect food. It was amazing how those little pellets of food kept them in perfect health. No one got sick. It was all they needed. When the ark was made, they put some of that manna into it. Then the ark was put behind the veil, and only the high priest would dare approach unto it. And then he had to have the sacrificial blood. The bread from heaven, symbolized by manna, one day came down from heaven and became life for all who believe on him. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. When he went away, he left us his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I'm going to keep going, but I just got to drop these things in here for you. Bible says that where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. And what carcass means is fresh-killed meat. See, it's fresh-killed meat. It's not something that's from a day gone by. Even when they had manna, they didn't hold the manna overnight because they get worms in it. It was fresh every day. See, it's fresh. And that's the way God likes to feed us, a fresh word, fresh, you know, anointing on the word of God. You know, he wants it that way, not just stale, but something fresh. You go to some churches, they're still preaching Daniel in the Lion's Den, the three Hebrew boys, and we thank God for that. Moses coming through the Red Sea, we thank God for that. But that's as far as they can go. I mean, a lot of other, you get into the depths of the word of God, they have no clue. Take them to, could you preach some kind of revelation there, Pastor? Oh, that book ain't revealed yet. See, I mean, you know, and you can't get nothing that really sustains you anymore. But we suppose they gather around the fresh killed meat. God wants us. He likens us to eagles. I was listening to a tape here a few weeks ago, and Brother Brown says an eagle means feeder with the beak. Feeder with the beak. And he says, so what that means is that when an eagle feeds another eagle, he gives them food from his mouth to the other eagle's mouth. They feed from beak to beak. That's the way they feed. And if you notice that God being Jehovah eagle, and the scripture says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, so word comes out of the mouth, from God's mouth to our mouths. And then we take what God gives us and we give it to another believer. See, that's how eagles feed on the word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right. When he went away, he left us his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. His word was bread. It was the perfect manna, which if a man live by, he shall never die. But right after the death of the fathers, no one seemed to know the extra truth. And in a short while, this manna seemed to have become hidden to the people. The manna now has become hidden to the people. But in every age, God began to give back by revelation that which was hidden until in this day, according to Revelation 10:7, a prophet will come and reveal all the mysteries and the Lord will come. I like what was just said there because Paul made the comment there in Ephesians 3:3. It says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So Paul is kind of telling us that there are things being revealed now that God's been holding up. He wasn't revealing, but now it is being revealed. Okay. Church, we got so much to look forward to. This whole Bible is now, everything is open. Not one bit of it is closed off. We just got to receive it from the way God is presenting it. Okay. Look at what he says. But in every age, God began to give back by revelation that which was hidden until in this last day. According to Revelation 10:7, a prophet will come and reveal all the mysteries, and then the Lord will come. I won't leave you just quoting that. I'm going to read for you Revelation 10:7, because he just made a key statement there. Read it for you. We have to know the Word of God as it pertains to our day. What are we looking for in this day? Amen. In the days of the children of Israel being in bondage, they were looking for a deliverer. After 400 years, God promised that he would send a deliverer, and Moses came on the scenes. He was the deliverer. In the days before Jesus, they were looking for a man to introduce Jesus. John the Baptist came 6 months before Jesus was born. See, we have to know what scriptures are sitting there here for us today. And as we see them being fulfilled, amen, then we have something that we can stand on. Now look at what Revelation 10:7 says. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now, that's important, the mystery of God. That means everything that we've lacked understanding of, we should have clarity on. The mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, I could go a lot further into that, but when he's talking about the seventh angel, you have to go back to Revelation 3 to understand who the seventh angel was, because, like I got up there on that chart behind me to my right, those stars, according to Revelation 1, those are messengers. Seven stars that Jesus had in his hand, those are seven messengers. Also, seven angels, the scripture describes them as. And each one of those stars or messengers was sent to a particular age or time for the Gentile dispensation. The first messenger to the Gentiles was Paul. And you can read that in the scripture where Paul said, the Jews rejected it, but we turned to the Gentiles. Paul was the first messenger to the Gentiles. Irenaeus was the second messenger or star. Martin was the third messenger or star. Columba, the fourth messenger or star to Thyatira. Luther was the fifth messenger or star to Sardis. Wesley was the sixth messenger to the age of Philadelphia. And then Brother Branham was the seventh messenger to the age of Laodicea, which is where we live at right now. And the way that the Bible describes the church of Laodicea, it says they are blind, they're poor, they're miserable, they're naked, they're wretched, and they don't know it. But they say they're rich. And I'm going to tell you, it's so much money flowing through church nowadays, it's a big business. It's the biggest business that you can get in. And all you need is either a good song or a good sermon, and you can get some money. And that's why everybody trying to get into the pulpit. People want a love offering. All right. Y'all don't believe me, though. It's the truth anyhow. That's exactly what people are after. They're after money. And they know where to go get money at. There used to be a church here. They used to run revival all the time. Why they all the time revival? All the time? I can see some revivals, but y'all have one every other week. All right, and the reason they're doing that is a way to get money. Get more people in here, get money, get money, get money, get money. And that's what people's all, that's what it's all about nowadays. They don't care about telling the truth, they just want the money. Amen. All right, let me go back. But in every age, God began to give back by revelation that which was hidden until in this last day, according to Revelation 10:7, a prophet will come and reveal all the mysteries. Then the Lord will come. Now, in each age, I say, the messengers received hidden truth, but they did not receive it for themselves only. But it is as it was when the disciples were asked to serve the multitudes loaves and fishes. Jesus gave them the broken food, but they in turn gave it to the people. And, you know, if you go back and you read that story where Jesus fed the 5,000 and fed the 4,000, I forget which one right now, but Jesus one time, he said, you know, feed the people. He told the disciples, y'all feed them people. I think it was the 5,000. Feed the people. And they looked at him and said, Jesus, how are we going to feed all these people? How are we going to do it? We ain't got nothing to feed these people with, you know. Send them back home. Said, no, you can't. They'll faint on the way back home. What y'all got around here? I got a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. Well, bring that to me. And he blessed it. And as he blessed it, he broke it. And as he kept blessing and breaking, everybody ate. See, everybody ate. They had so much that they had leftovers. All right. But initially, before Jesus blessed and broke it, he gave the disciples the commandment that they were supposed to feed the people. See, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. You feed the people, and you take care of this. How are we going to do it? You better figure out a way. But you feed them people. Remember that quote that we've been focusing on? You deliver them people. How am I going to do it? House of hell give way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to just pray over this. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to break it. Yeah. Let it multiply. Amen. I don't know how this works. I ain't never seen this before, but this, I mean, God can do some amazing things. Amen. Listen, Jesus gave them the broken food, but they in turn gave it to the people. God gives his hidden manna to the overcomer. It cannot be otherwise. He would not open his treasures to those who spurn what is already revealed. Now, that is very important. God gives hidden manna to the overcomers. And what he's talking about as far as overcoming, he's talking about people that overcome denominationalism. Look, what I'm talking here tonight cannot be taught in a denominational church. The things that I preach in this pulpit cannot be preached in a denominational church. I can tell you that right now. They will kick me out. They'll kick me out. There's many of them that will not. I come for one service. Oh, we'd like to have you back. I've tried it already. I know what I'm talking about. I went to a church, and boy, we had church. Pastor was on fire. Oh, my. Oh, my. We're going to have him back. Yeah, we're going to have him back. Amen, church. There's a few sisters sitting right over in that area. They weren't saying amen. And when they weren't saying amen, just kind of sitting there, just nodding, you knew who had control over the church. The pastor was just a figurehead. The mothers of the church was running things. See, now again, we don't want to be dominated by male or female. We want to be dominated by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Truth in it. Some churches, the first lady run the whole thing. Y'all can, everybody just know. She ain't got us. Just the way she carries herself, they know she's the one running everything. The man in the pulpit, just a puppet. Amen. And we done seen it. We done seen it. But I remember, we had church. We had church because I was given a pretty difficult subject to preach on. You know, I forget. I know it was out of the book of Isaiah, repair of the breach, I think, or something like that. And man, I went, I forgot all my notes, everything. I said, man, I got to preach by inspiration. I ain't got none of my notes with me. And the pastor, I said, how was service this morning? They had another preacher come in that morning. How was service this morning? Man, we had church, man. It was good. So they put pressure on me then. I'm like, Lord, God help me. I got up there and just began to preach and how the Lord would lead. And the pastor was just blown away. I was blown away too. But I think I remember saying something like, I'm not Pentecostal. I mean, but it don't take that. I say, I'm not Pentecostal, but we still feel the fire of God in here, don't we? Something like that. I'm like, yeah, I guess that probably put me out when they realized that I was not Pentecostal. See, you don't identify with that. You know, but this is exactly what happened with Jesus. They want to know whether you're Pharisee or Sadducee. Those are different sects of that day. Now we have other sects today. See, all kind of denominational names. And if you're not a part of a certain denomination, you're nothing. If you want to blow up overnight, just become part of one of their denominations. And they will lift you up. But the other thing they'll do, if a man lifts you up, a man can take you down. That's just bottom line. So I'm not depending on any man. I can't. I'm taking advice of an older sister that when we first started out, she told me, whatever you start preaching, you keep preaching. Don't you ever change what you're preaching. Don't ever change. And by the grace of God, for 10 years, I've been able to do it. Just stay with that word. Stay with that word. Thank you, brother. You have to do it. You have to do it. You can't change that word for nobody. You talk about souls, people trying to go to heaven. I'm not just trying to go to church. I'm trying to go to heaven. And I know going to church is going to get me to heaven. But I'm not a surface Christian, shallow Christian, just trying to go to church. I want to go to heaven. All right. Two paragraphs and we're going to be done. He will not open his treasures to those who spurn what is already revealed. What I have been saying about the messenger of each age receiving from God, some of the original truth of Pentecost is typed out in the Old Testament where Moses was commanded to take up 3 1/2 pints of manna, place it in a golden vessel behind the veil of the Holy of Holies. There the priests of every generation could enter with sacrificial blood. Then he could take a small portion of this manna, for it did not corrupt, which was part of the original, and eat it. So what Moses held, put up there, you know, in that holies of holies, even after years, one priest died, his son coming to take his place, that boy could partake of that original manna. See, it's the same thing with us. What the church experienced on the day of Pentecost, we should be partaking of the original spirit that fell on the day of Pentecost. Nothing less, nothing more, nothing less. It should be part of the original. Amen. Listen. There the high priest of every generation could enter with sacrificial blood. Then he could take a small portion of this manna, for it did not corrupt, which was part of the original, and eat it. Now in every age the messenger of the Lord to that age was given the revelation of God for that specific period. Once the messenger was enlightened by truth, he would bring that truth to the people. And they whose ears had been opened by the Spirit would hear the truth. I like this. Look at it. It's three things that are going to happen. If your ears are opened by the Spirit, these three things are going to happen. You're going to first hear the truth. The second thing you're going to do is believe it. And you know the third thing you're going to do? Live it. You're going to hear it, believe it, and live it if you really heard the truth. That's just bottom line. The Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. See, so you're going to hear the truth, believe it, and live it. I love that. Now then, there's also the thought of the future partaking of the hidden manna. I think it will be the eternal partaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ in eternal ages to come. How else we begin to know the unsearchable riches of his own being? All that we have longed to know, all our unanswered questions, all that will be revealed. It will be from Christ, who is our life, that we receive it. Oh, sometimes we think we got to know a little of him and his word down here, and it is so good, it makes us rejoice. But one day when our flesh changes, that word and he will become what we had never dreamed possible. I'm looking forward to that. I am certainly looking forward to that. As Brother Brandon was saying there, a messenger would be enlightened by truth and he would bring it to people. Every time I think about that, I go back into history with Martin Luther. And Martin Luther received truth as the Catholic Church was just doing so much that he just could not agree with. Ain't no way people got to pay to get to heaven and all this other stuff that y'all coming up with that, you know, that is unscriptural. Martin Luther, October 31st, I believe, is a Halloween night. He was at home and he drew up what he called the 95 Theses, 95 things that he found wrong with the Catholic Church. And he went that Halloween night, took that paper and a nail and a hammer, walked up to the door and just nailed it to the Catholic Church door. And when that occurred, it actually opened up. It opened up some things, because back then it was either all Catholic or dead. But when Martin Luther did that and began to preach that new revelation, you know, to the people, the just shall live by faith, When Martin Luther did that, now it opened up. That's actually where we can even come together like this now, you know, because of what he did. He opened the word, began to preach to that generation, and he was the messenger there to the fifth church age, the Sardesian church age. That was their messenger. God revealed a little truth to him. He began to preach it. Those people walked out and began to walk in that light. Mm-hmm. Every messenger, God has revealed something to them. The people receive it, they hear it, they believe it, and then they begin to walk in that and live it. That's exactly what has happened here in our day. God sent us a prophet, a man, and according to his word, it's not anything that anybody got to make up. Again, Revelation, look, I just read out of Revelation 10, which is the last book of the Bible. But you also find the last book of the Old Testament, God also promised a prophet, you know, to come. So both of those scriptures identify the same person. God has done exactly what he said he was going to do. Now it's up to us to believe, to hear it. Second, believe it. And then third, live it. Amen. Because we don't want to just be hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this study here tonight. Just ask that you would take it, Lord, and just let it become real to us. Continue, Lord, to bring revelation to our hearts, that we would walk in the truth, Lord, of your word. Truth is what makes us free. Pray that you bless every ear that is here to hear the word of God. And God, as they hear it, may we not just be hearers, but may we be doers. We want to hear it, believe it, and live it. Let that be let that be a part of our life, God, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's just